Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We are in chapter 22. Genesis 22, this is God's word. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We read this story, we hear this story, and it is unimaginable to us that God would test his servant Abraham in this way. How could God do this? We can't imagine. Neither could Abraham. It was unthinkable. So was having Isaac. It was a miracle. God had given a miracle child, and now God is asking that Abraham offer him back to God as a sacrifice. God tested Abraham. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So God told him the region to go to, and he said, I'm going to show you the exact place. Now, why is God doing this? Well, that place is identified for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. It is where the Dome of the Rock sits now in Jerusalem. It is there where the temple was built. It is there in that place, not the spot where the Dome of the Rock is, but there in Jerusalem, that God would have his special meeting place with his people. And it is there that God would offer up his son, his only son, as the perfect sacrifice that takes away our sin. God had promised that there was one who would go before him, announcing and preparing the way, and that was John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist introduced his cousin Jesus, he introduced him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the sacrifice that God provided. All these other sacrifices pointed to him. Everything else was leading up to the event where God's only son would be the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, who bears the punishment that we have earned through our sin. Abraham didn't know that. Abraham simply did what God told him. When God told him this, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey, and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. That's obedience. And that is what faith looks like. When the Bible talks about the faith of Abraham, you're seeing it right there. It's not just an intellectual belief. Yeah, I believe that. It's believing God, trusting God, obeying God. James says, if we say that we have faith, but we don't manifest it in the way that we live, then our faith isn't the real thing. It's dead faith. We talk sometimes about being yielded to the Lord, surrendered to him. Well, that's displayed in obedience. There's a famous expression among my children because of something I said on at least one occasion, and it was memorable to them. I had given instruction, and I waited for the response. And I didn't see obedience. And so my statement was, I don't see movement. You see, they were doing something else. They hadn't said no. They said, yes, sir. But they weren't doing what I said. I don't see movement. Yieldedness is not a matter of saying, thy will be done, and then not doing his will. Obedient faith, the faith of Abraham, is a matter of trust and obey. Some of us are old enough to remember a song. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If you trust, you obey. If you don't obey, it's an indication that you don't really trust him. So I just want to ask you, how are you doing in the faith department? How's your trust level with God? There have been times in my life when, by God's grace, I was trusting and obeying. But more than a few times, I'm sorry to say, because I didn't see things going my way, I've wavered in my faith. I've not trusted God fully. I've not obeyed God diligently. And the mercy and grace of God is that I'm still his child, and he's still taking me on a journey to know him better and learn to be more faithful in doing what he says.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his Abraham started out early in the morning. He had to cut the wood himself, which is interesting. He's got a couple of servants with him, but he was personally hands-on involved in doing what God had said needed to be done. He cut enough wood for the burnt offering, and he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." I thought, is this deceit? I mean, I thought you were going to offer him as a burnt offering. You're going to bring back the charred remains of your boy? I mean, what? I don't get it. Well, the Bible tells us how that works. In the book of Hebrews, when it's talking about Abraham and how he trusted God, verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11, By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. You see, the reason he believed that he and his son would come back is because of what God had said through Isaac. Your descendants will come. Well, how does this work? I'm supposed to kill my son, offer him as a burnt offering, and then he's still going to be the one through whom the descendants come? If God says so. Whatever God says. And so what did he do? He obeyed. And before he killed his son, the angel of the Lord spoke to him, commanding him not to harm the boy. But what had he said, the prophet Abraham, when his son asked a question? "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Verse 8, Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. God provided the sacrifice. Can you understand the son's question? They're carrying fire in a container. They've got the wood. But where's the lamb? Why don't we have the sacrifice with us? "God will provide the lamb," Abraham said. And indeed, God provided a ram that was caught in a thicket that Abraham hadn't seen yet. Imagine. If it's hard to imagine Abraham being willing to offer up his son whom he loved, imagine God being willing to offer up his son whom he loved. God the Father spoke from heaven saying of Jesus, "This is my loved son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus, who never sinned like all of us have. Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. God offered him there on Mount Moriah in our place. Imagine that. Why would he do that? God is not cruel. But it was the only way that you and I could be saved. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me, please." But there was no other way. The only way that you could be forgiven was for someone else to take your punishment. The only way that I could be forgiven was for someone else to bear the wrath that I deserved. I couldn't die for you because I deserved to die. You couldn't die for me because you deserved to die. But Jesus is the one perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And therefore, God offered him in our place. Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," verse 14. And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and hear this, verse 18, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. How does that happen? We've said before, because God had made a similar promise in the past. The Jews have been a blessing to the whole earth. The advances in medicine, contributions to the arts, even military advances, all kinds of wonderful ways in which the Jewish people have blessed. But that's not what this is about. One day, around the throne of God, there will be people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Because of Abraham's obedience, God promises through him to do what God had already ordained from eternity. Jesus is referred to in Scripture as the Lamb who is slain from the foundation of the world. God had already ordained how we would be saved. And Abraham, through his obedience, is getting to be a part of what God does. God doesn't need us. God loves us. And God has chosen to work through us. But let me tell you, God will get things done through his enemies. God will get things done through people who are saying, no, no, I want to do things my way. Classic examples running all through Scripture. One of the most famous is an Egyptian pharaoh who refused to let God's people go, even when God said through Moses, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. Didn't work out very well for Pharaoh. The Bible not only says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, the Bible also says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why? Because God said, I'm going to display my power and my glory through what happens. He's going to let my people go, but only after a series of things in which God totally discredited and humiliated all the demonic, idolatrous worship of the Egyptians. God displayed his glory. Well, Is that really okay for God to show off like that? Yes. Well, it's not okay for me to show off, is it? No. Well, how come I can't and God can? Well, because you're not God. And he is. And when God displays his glory, it's a mercy to us because we need to know him and know who he is. And so when he manifests his glory, he is graciously revealing himself to people who spend most of our lives going like this. I don't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus said, this is the judgment. The light has come into the darkness, and men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. God displays his glory, and when he opens our eyes to see it, we don't say, we say, oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God promises that through Isaac, all nations of the earth will be blessed.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.